you or in front of you?
I feel like my mic is a little bit weak. I'm straining my voice, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Welcome to Faith City Church. If you're with us for the first time, we want to thank you for coming. And I believe that you will not be disappointed. If not already, you've been blessed. And if you go home right now, you say, man, I went to a wonderful church. Amen. And I'm sorry I didn't stay, but I'm coming back and bringing my friends. Praise God. Amen. How many of you came here today and you brought a friend with you? Let me see your hand. Here's one right here. And somebody else brought a friend. There's a few folks. Thank you. We're praying that you will bring friends with you. Bring family with you. I promise you one thing, we won't scare them. And, I cannot promise that because sometimes things go wrong. People fall out under power and they get blessed and they dance and cry and shout and so on. But, so we'll put those people in the back somewhere. And, no, I'm just kidding. No, you know, the Holy Ghost manifests himself and people get happy. And they really, really get enthused. And so we thank God. You know what? If you ever feel the presence of God, don't hold back.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever hold back. You go ahead and rejoice, dance, fall, run, laugh, jump, laugh, and do everything. Or give money. If you feel like you want to do that, you can also do that. Amen. We do have a small member of our church here. Why don't you bring that baby over for a second? We didn't plan this, but let's go ahead and bring this baby. Praise God. Brand new member. Freshly baked. Praise God. Come on up here. Can you walk up here?
The chicken head been taken out.
So what's the baby's name again?
Nova Dawn Bush-Gagan.
Ever cute. How did that happen?
Ever
cute. Look at that. Look at that. Look at
that. Turn over here. 2 hours.
Ooh, look at that, eh? Beautiful.
7 pounds, 10 ounces.
7 pounds, 10 ounces. 10, yeah. 10 ounces.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how come you didn't name him after me and stuff? You know, do that? Next one maybe, eh?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Encourage anybody here. You can use my name if you want. No one has done that yet. Amen. Well, we bless you in the name of Jesus. And I know you're going to have a time where we dedicate the baby, but I bless you in the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming today.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Give them a hand. Brand new baby. So we do have some babies coming and they're growing and our church is growing, praise God. And I can see some of you are growing too. You're doing a good job growing naturally and spiritually. Amen. Praise God. All right, you have your Bible, something to write on. If you don't have it, get a piece of paper. And we're going to talk about the peace of God today. We're going to talk about living in peace. Living in peace, and we are going to use Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I use another scripture, but I have plenty of scriptures I can use to back this up, we will cover this topic. And I just felt like this morning that, for some reason, I just felt an incredible desire to teach on this or to encourage people about peace, the peace of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it'll be there on your screen pretty soon. If you didn't get the screen, yep, you got it. In the New Living Translation, it says, let the peace of God that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. There's something going on the inside of you. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Hallelujah. Always be thankful. So how many of you are thankful this morning?
Hallelujah.
Amen. And how many of you are in peace this morning? A number of you. How many would like to have more peace? Amen. You can have more peace. I mean, you might be in peace in one area, but another area you don't have that much peace. So you want to totally be immersed in peace. I want to just say something here before we start teaching. We do have what we call leadership essentials. We started that in 2000, I believe, when we got back from Rhema Bible Training College. My wife and I started teaching. But we taught leadership for a number of years before that. We did ministry of helps teaching. And so we're going to change. Everybody say change.
Change.
Is change good or bad?
Good.
It's good, eh? All right. Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So change. Tonight we're going to change. We're going to do some changing. We're going to talk about that tonight, about leadership. So people, when you say leadership, people get all scared and everything. But that's all of you.
That's right.
You're all leaders.
Amen.
Except Ernie. No. So anyway, we're gonna teach you about that. So I want to invite you, if you're curious, how many of you are curious about what happens on leadership development? One person, okay. but if you, I want to invite you to come. We want to help you and to train you. My wife was working really hard yesterday. She worked night and day teaching with this teaching. So she's got something planned really good for you tonight. And I might not be there because I have some very important meetings happening at the local hotel. And so this is some other work I do. So I'm gonna try to be there. I might be done at 5 or 6 o'clock, but I'll be here. So thank God for opportunities. Amen. So we're gonna make it an opportunity for everybody to learn some things and grow. And when you come to leadership meetings, you know, you get to meet people and you get to learn about them and get a chance. You know, serving God, I want to tell you something. Serving God is not that easy because, you know, God's people, you know, the sheep can bite. You have to learn. You have to learn, you know, and they're smelly sometimes and this different things. You know, when I say smelly, they're not that, they're always not that nice. They're just matted with different things and you got bugs and everything. And so you have to, when you're helping leadership, when you're helping people, it's not always that easy, right? And so what we've designed is a program to assist you, to help you to serve other people. Because people don't come in fine packages. They come with a lot of hurt. They come with maybe extra thing, baggages that they have. They might not even know about it. And the way they present themselves, they think they're okay, but they're really not. You know, sometimes we can stay at home and think we're the best Christian ever. But it's when we get out there serving people, we realize we're serving with other people, and we might not, bump heads together, we might get hurt, things happen, misunderstandings. And so in those sessions, we try to teach you how to survive and how to work and how to thrive and how to overcome different things and how to love people and how to serve people. So those sessions are good for you so that when things happen, you don't break down and run away for months at a time and you can't get back and serve people. This is, I've seen this over the years as a leader. People get hurt in church and they don't come back, and so they quit church altogether. They leave the church and they leave church, God, out of their lives altogether when they should be running to church. And so that's why we designed this program with you in mind, so that when we're working together, you get to learn about yourself. You get to learn about different people. Everybody is different. Not everybody likes to be treated all the same. You know, we treat people all the same in the sense that we love people. But there are people with different kinds of facets of character. And sometimes people come across a certain way. We take them the wrong way. But when we understand their leadership ability or their area of service, then we understand why they're designed that way. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, cars are all not the same. Everybody has a different car. Not everybody drives a Honda. Some of you drive big trucks and different things like that. So, and that's, you know, you have to learn what you can work with. So, praise God. Amen? So, that's a public announcement service by local. Anyway, let's go back to our work. And so, forget you mentioned this part, but for now. Let's read again Colossians chapter 3 and verse 50. Let the peace of God that from Christ rule in your hearts. For members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. So as an introduction, I want to say, the Bible says that we're in a fight of faith. You know, you're in a fight. And Ephesians, or as 1 Timothy 6:2 says that we're in a fight of faith. In other words, your spiritual life is in a battle right now. And you might be fighting with yourself a lot of times. And you have to watch that. because you fight with yourself, because you don't understand all aspects of different things. The devil talks to you about different things. So you're in a faith fight. Say, I'm in a faith fight. And also that the Bible says we're struggling against evil powers or evil forces. According to Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil forces that rule in the heavenlies. So we are up against spiritual forces that you cannot see, and they're working sometimes around behind people. They don't know it, and so they're actually pushing your buttons. And you might not recognize, you might think it's that person that's actually against you, so you fight with that person, when really there is a spiritual force against you. Amen. That person might not even know they're being used. So we are in a fight of faith. We're fighting against spiritual forces. And so it can be difficult at times to stay positive in a negative world. It's hard to live peaceful when all kinds of stuff is going around in your life. So we're living in a world of turmoil. According to Psalms 23, that we're walking in the shadow of darkness. And when Psalm 23 describes us today to a T, that Jesus is our shepherd and that he leads us, and he's feeding us and so on. He's guiding us, protecting us. But we're walking through this dark world. The shadow of darkness of this world. He's talking about that world we're living in right now as Christians. So we're living in a dark world. That's why the state of the world is in right now. You know, it's not going to get better. But we're getting better. And it's going to stay positive as long as we stay positive and we stay right and we pray for our city and we pray for one another. And so we're walking through the shadow of darkness, the Bible says in Psalm 23. So it's a war zone at times. We see wars in many nations of the world coming through our TV in different ways we get the news. Those who study human behavior say that we're in conflict the world is in conflict as we review, see that on our TV sets and our smartphones and so on. Our bodies react to what we're seeing. And if you're watching this, your body is doing something and you don't even know it. So you're getting stressed out and you don't understand it. You're getting pumped. Your adrenaline is going through your body. And so you're watching that on TV and you're hearing bad news. And so people experience stress and turmoil by watching their smartphones. In fact, you can just watch some of your friends and just get angry watching them. And that's why people said, I'm taking a holiday from my Facebook. So I was thinking about, I wonder what they're thinking. Why are they doing that? So anyway, but it's because they're stressed out. If they were having a good time, they wouldn't take a holiday. They would say, man, you know, I can just, whatever. But it's good to take a holiday. Anyway, we should be careful what we watch and how much we watch something, if it's going to stress us out, if certain aspects of it's going to harm you and your personality, your type of personality, then maybe you should lay off certain things and you can do that. So be careful how you take in information. And what you take in. Jesus says, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you take in, Jesus said. And we must let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Amen. You must allow the peace of God to rule everything, every aspect of your life. So I want to make this point to you this morning that no matter what's going on in your life, we can live in peace. No matter what's going on around you and maybe in your personal life, you can still have peace. You can walk in peace, live in peace. And I added the scripture, which I will talk about later on, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, just to give you a little preview. Romans 12, 18 says, the New Living says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Amen. So I don't know if you're doing all you can. You're doing some things maybe, but not everything to live in peace. So it's possible if God says to live in peace, do everything you can to live in peace with someone, it means it's possible to live in peace. You know, only God can give you real peace.
Amen.
He's called the God of peace, and he's the source of all peace. And for every situation that you face today or whenever, you can always find peace for that situation that you're facing. John 14:27, Jesus said, I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and be afraid. So the Bible says that God can only give you peace that this world is trying to offer you. But this world cannot give you the kind of peace that you really need. Getting quiet around here. It is. You cannot find peace anywhere. You can try something. You can go out there and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a while and just get away from stuff and enjoy some of that for just a little while and might even stress you out and cost you more money. But I don't want to do things that cost me money. I want to make money. Amen? So the Lord himself said he was giving us his peace. So we can't get genuine peace from this world as it tries to. It's inviting you into its world. The world is really where Satan's his domain at the moment. And it cannot produce real peace. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. You can see that in several scriptures that, you know what? God is not running everything in this world. And he's not running everything in your life. Some of us think that God is running the world in our lives, but I can see at least Ken's life. I always talk about Ken, eh? I want to deflect for myself. Well, we'll try it. Nathan. I've seen Nathan. I got two guys that are going back and forth this over here. So anyway, that's why Pastor Steve, he's smart. He lives right at the back. He's back there. So anyway, the world really is Satan's domain. He is running things. And we read earlier we're in a fight of faith. We're fighting against principalities and powers. These powers are trying to work through people and work through to your life to disturb you. So God can give you peace beyond your understanding. He can give you peace in a situation where you're not supposed to be in the natural having peace. So here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:16, these people were having some real difficulties with their thinking and the world. They think the world is ending and God's already come, Jesus already come, and different things happening. You know, there's a lot of people, Christians in the Christian world, they're talking about the devil showing up any second, and you know, they're just like scaring everybody about the last days. We shouldn't be afraid of the last days. We should be happy because a lot of times you won't even be here for most of the stuff that's going on. Because Jesus is coming back for you. You won't be here. So take a break. So 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this, may the Lord of peace himself, that's God himself, give you his peace at all times. Amen. In every situation. God will give you peace in every situation and things that's going on in your life that everybody else is devastated. You're still standing there. You're strong.
Amen.
Because it's the grace of God. It's the peace of God working in you. Paul said we have a God of peace. He says God can give us peace in any section of our lives, any stage of our lives. Doesn't mean you'll never be tempted to be in fear. It says that you can get through this. And for every situation, no matter what it is. Philippians chapter 4:9 says this, after you cast your care upon the Lord, he says, put into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard, everything you saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You know, it's good to have people around you that are more mature than you, that have walked the walk and have gone blaze ahead of you, and they're telling you, you can do this. Amen. It's good to have mentorship. Amen. It's good to have other people teaching you that, hey, it's okay, it's going to be okay. And you're thinking, like I talk about in my past, you know, I used to have a sponsor, and I was in this program, And I was working, and I was like, I thought I was dying of anxiety attacks and losing my mind. I would call my sponsor and say, hey, you know, I'm so depressed, I'm going crazy. And he said, just go and help somebody. Go and find somebody. Go to the meeting. Go and help out. Go do something. And so I said, this guy doesn't understand me. Let me tell you again, I'm dying. He says, go and find somebody to help. He wants me to get out of my own self, right? So there's a peace comes from acting on the Word of God here. Act like the Word is true. Act like, we act like if somebody, you have a friend, tells you something, promises you something, and you act like it's true, they're going to fulfill it. Let's do the same for God. God says something, let's believe that what he said is true, right? So let's talk about peace for a second, peace. And I'm looking at some dictionary meanings earlier. One dictionary says peace is a state of harmony in the absence of hostility and violence. So in a social sense, peace is commonly used to mean a lack of conflict, such as war, freedom from fear of violence between individuals or groups. Peace means a freedom from disturbances. Any kind of disturbance, and experiencing tranquility. Peace means mental and emotional calmness. Peace means having a mind free of anxiety or anxious thoughts and undisturbed thoughts. I like the way the Amplified Bible expresses peace. Let's go over here to Amplified Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It takes that word and gives you the Greek meaning of it. It says, may the God of favor, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being. Peace is perfect well-being. All necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions. Let me just explain agitating passions. Sometimes people, they don't experience peace because they have agitating passions. Say, for instance, you're addicted to something, like sugar. Like some people say, I'm not addicted. Yeah, you take away your sugar, you'd be crazy. You'd be walking in the ceiling. Like there's all kinds of addictions. There's bingo addictions. You know? Different kind of things like that, you know. I mean, I was addicted to anything that would get me high. I would do it. And if it wasn't this day, I would be on the street, like to see the other people. I just went all the way when I lived for the devil and addiction. I just went all the way, man. I just take everything. My uncle had pills of all kinds. I'll try that. Sniffing substances. Different things. I mean, I drink whatever. If I didn't run, we'd find something to get us high, whatever. And so I was addicted. And so here's another addiction: sexual addiction. I mean, if you can't live without sex, getting quiet in here. I mean, you're a Christian, you're born again, and it's a human need, but if God says don't do it at a certain time, then you can not do it. The only thing is that you're listening to the wrong voice, and the voice is telling you, you need it, you need it, you need it, you need it. So there is a time that, you know, if we learn these things, so people have agitating passions, so if they're always in the turmoil on the inside, I got to have this, I got to have this, I got to have this. And so that's not peace. We think about peace. When we talk about peace, we're talking about, oh, there's no war. Oh, thank God, there's no peace. But inside, you're just brewing up with all kinds of passions. You can't wait for that drumstick, 12 o'clock, you know. I got to get out there and go to KFC. You know, so people, like coffee. I quit coffee, and I'm so happy I'm acting smart, but I'm drinking so much tea now. I switched addictions. I was so happy. But my doctor says, wait a minute. How much tea are you drinking? And so I just switched addictions, see? Sometimes, you know, you have to understand this, right? So I remember my mother, she quit drinking and she would just go to, she was 100% bingo holic. She was like just going to bingo all the time, you know. Yeah, you know, I think my aunt, I mean, Ed's mom, she used to hitchhike to the next town to go to the bingo. I remember that years and years ago. He said, where's she going? Oh, she's out there again going to bingo. I mean, we do everything. My uncle used to walk 50 miles for tobacco. He'd be in a trap line somewhere and he'd walk home and he ran out of tobacco. But, you know, you do everything, any kind of thing for addictions. Right? So we're talking about peace. And you can say, yeah, I can do this. I don't need it. And be free. How many people would like to be free from everything that would bind? Amen? So we're talking about being free. We want to be at peace. We don't want to let anything, take us away from God, taking away from the passions of loving Jesus, and take that in. We want to serve God with all our hearts. Amen? So we want to be free from every disturbance. I want to show you some scriptures here that Paul, in his opening epistles to the churches, his letters to the churches, he sends out greetings in the beginning there, and he talks to the churches, and this is what he wrote as he led them into a teaching. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, may the God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. He's talking about grace and peace. Grace is the ability to do something you cannot do yourself. You know? So God wants to give you the ability to even like things you didn't like before. So Galatians 1 and 3 says, may the God of Father, Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. Galatians 1, 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 says the same thing. May the God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, he's saying we're writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. As you can see, this is getting pretty tremendously, showing us how important this is. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be His own holy people. May God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. So, the Bible encourages all of us to live at peace with everybody. You know, and so we're going to do that here. We're going to start this morning. So put down your weapons. Okay? We put down your weapons. So here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, we see Paul talking to his partners, his people who supported them in ministry, and they were fighting. And so he comes along and tells them, take it easy. He says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreements. God doesn't want us to be in disagreement. He wants us to be in peace. Amen. When there was a dispute between Paul's two partners, he was telling them to work things out. God wants us to live at peace with each other. Sometimes in churches or in church, things can get pretty rough. And we shouldn't be in disharmony, at least the Bible encourages us to be at peace. But sometimes the biggest fights are in churches. Paul wanted his friends to be at peace with one another because it is God's will to be in peace. It's difficult to work in a place where there's no peace at all, whether you're at a job somewhere and there's disarray and problems. It's hard to work when there's all kinds of troubles like that, right? People are in dispute with one another, and this one's talking about that one's talking about this one, and when you leave, they'll start talking about you. And so you remember that whenever someone talks about somebody to you behind their back, when you leave the room, guess who they're talking about? Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Conflict and discord, you know, can stop our faith from working. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 7, the Bible says, in the same way you husbands, must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal in some cases. The wife is stronger. I saw that on TikTok. It's real. She's your equal partner and God's gift in real life. Listen to this. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Amen. This is talking about a husband or wife. The husband should treat his wife and the wife should treat her husband the same way. Because, you know, you don't want your prayers to be hindered. I'm talking about fighting a spiritual battle. I'm talking about we're struggling. The devil will bring all the bad things about your wife. And say that she's an alien or something. You've been living with an alien all your life. You know? So you know, you have this going on. Your wife is, you know, you're getting mad at her. Look at her. Look at the way she is. Why does she have to do that all the time? Why did she have to hold her keys and stand like that? And so the devil just pick on you, tell you, just fighting away. Then you look at each other and say, why are we fighting? You know? So we can have discord and we can't be in discord and pretend to be in harmony and think our prayer is going to get answered. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the Amplified says this. So if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. That's talking about religious practices. Don't mean anything. You can do any kind of ritual, but it don't mean anything unless you activate your life by faith. You know, so it says, faith activated, expressed, and working through love. So when you're in discord and you're fighting all the time, that's going to affect your faith life. And so, settle in your heart, you'll be at peace. As we read Romans 12, 18 earlier, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Be a peacemaker. Do what you can to be at peace with everyone. And we should let peace rule in our hearts. As we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. So that's what our text says. Let the peace of God be the deciding factor in everything you do in your life. Amen. Peace, you know, seems to elude many people. It seems you go everywhere and find out, you know, they try to find peace in everything else but God himself or his word. God shows us the way to live in peace through his word. In this day, we need peace to lead us in every facet of our lives. The writer of Proverbs says this, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, the New Living says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled from fear and harm. So when we listen to God and we follow him, follow his directives, we will live in peace. Amen. You go to bed at night knowing that you've done your best, you know. So the Lord Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said that earlier. He said in John 14 and 27, I'm leaving you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. I'm giving you this gift of peace. This world cannot give it. So let me tell you something. You can never find peace in any other activity except God's word.
Amen.
Go to the word of God and find out if you got a problem. Find something in there that's going to answer your situation. There is something in there. He said, well, I've been trying. Well, how long have you been reading? 10 minutes? You might have to read longer than that. Or find somebody who knows. Paul said, Jesus is the giver of peace. He said, may the Lord himself give you his peace at all times in every situation. So, you can't really find inner calmness without God's help. Let me talk about peace and making decisions. How many of you are making decisions this morning on something important? We're all doing it at some point. So, it says here, in our text, it says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts as members of one body. You are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Let me just read this in the Amplified Classical Addiction. I'm addicted to Amplified. The Amplified Classical Edition. Okay, I got excited, okay? Get excited about the word. peace has to be a deciding factor if you're going to buy a car, if you're going to go out and marry somebody, if you're going to take that job. It sounds good, but something in here tells you, there's something not right here. To move away, to go to a certain place, or to find partners, to find church, or go to a church somewhere. Peace has to be a deciding factor. He says, let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as a continually, as an umpire continually in your hearts. You know, an umpire is the one who says, out, safe. So that should be in your heart. And if you check your heart, there'll be that in your heart. Your spirit knows that's where God lives. It'll tell you that something's right, something's wrong. It's okay, or be cautious. It'll tell you that. And we should use that on a regular basis as peace. Let peace be the deciding factor in every decision you make. Do you have peace about it? You know? And so some things might look good, might sound good, but in the end, you know, you find yourself on the side of the road singing 6 days on the road again. I hope I'm going to make it home tonight. That's an old song. Some of you don't even know. About one third of you might know. So many make important decisions without having peace in their hearts. They rely only on the physiological or emotional things that make them feel good right away. Oh, you'll get that money. Oh, yeah, I need it. Oh, you get that car, you drive it right away. Right away. When can I, if you bought that car, when can I get it? Well, you get it this afternoon before you know it. You know? They say, I want it right away. So you want to go buy it right away. I can buy that truck. It's $140,000. I went to look at a truck at the, I said, Pinewood. It was $140,000. Worth more than my house. When I bought it. It's crazy. Amen. But, you know, I mean, inflation. So it sounded good, right? Honey, I bought a brand new Ram. And she's going to ram you pretty good, too. Tell me that. Last time I said, honey, what did you remember last time? Roma, are you there? I remember going home, happily taking the truck home with the nice keys in my hand. And I said, honey, if you don't get it, it's all right. So let peace rule in your heart. Amen? I want you to go to Isaiah 55, verse 12. You know, when we make decisions, there has to be something on the inside of you. Your spirit should tell you whether or not something's right or okay. Sometimes you get a caution. You get, this is the right thing to do. Or you get said, no way, no, don't do this. In Isaiah 55, 12, the King James says, for you shall go out with joy. Joy is always an indicator that your faith is working and this is the right path to take. And you'll be led forth with what? Peace. The Bible says you'll be led forth with peace. In the decisions that you're making, you know in your heart that, oh, this is the right thing. Oh, man, I've got it down. Notice it talks about, it describes about the life when you got that joy and peace in there, you made that decision, and all of a sudden everything else seems to fall into place. Amen. It says the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. When you are in the will of God, everything seems right. Like I remember when I said I got born again, I described what I felt when I got born again. I was so happy. I thought everybody should be happy that I got born again. And I went and talked to my priest. I said, you know what? I need to get born. I got born again. I need to get baptized. I was wondering why he was not happy. You know, I went to my parents and they looked at me like, oh, okay. A little snaky here. You know, my family didn't understand me, and my cousin said, you're changing religion. Everything. But in my heart, in my life, everything seems wonderful. I said I came out of that and I got born again. The sky was more bluer, right? The clouds was more fluffier, right? I was so happy. And I walked down the street and the lamppost was looking so wonderful, I wanted to hug the lamppost and click my heels. And I saw a dog and the dog seemed doggier. I mean, everything was wonderful. Everything was wonderful. Until the anointing ran out. You know, everything seems wonderful for a while. So you have joy, you have a sense of peace when you're making the right decision. You know. And so we have to let that peace rule in our hearts when we're making decisions in life. So we don't depend on what other people think about you. You're the important part here. Right? So we need to allow for that to flow in our lives. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, so when we're making decisions, don't let fear intimidate you into making decisions. They'll tell you things like this. Listen, this is the only car in the world like it. Right? You'll never find one like this. I always tell we have a good friend over there at Honda, and we talk to him all the time. We go visit him just to have fun. And he tells us different stories, and we listen to him. He always says, you know, Romo, you'll never get a deal like that again, ever. That car we sold you was one of the best ones. That's the best price. I mean, you'll never find that anywhere. Nobody will get that price. Lucky you got that from me. He says to me one time, Romo, I found a car just exactly what you want. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll come and buy it. He said, no, but I bought it myself. So I held a grudge on him for quite a while. I let him know all the time. Remember that thing you bought? That's my vehicle you're driving there. So it says God has not given us a spirit of fear or a timidity or a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. Don't let fear intimidate you making decisions. You know, you got to do it now. You make that deal this afternoon. You got to do it. Sign now. I said, no, you sign yourself. I'm not coming to sign. I'm not going to do anything here, you know. So just walk away from it. Walk away and say, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to be ruled by fear or force or any kind of thing. So let the peace of God. You know, here's something else. You didn't have peace with God. You know, we always want peace with people, but we want peace with God. The number one thing is to find peace with your Creator. You know, as a young man, I was in much turmoil, wanted peace in my heart. My life was in shambles. I had a broken heart. I was in discontent and in dismay. When I heard Billy Graham says, you can have peace right now. In your heart. And I'm watching the television. He said, you can have peace, young man. You can have peace right now. Oh, I want peace. I want peace. Are you ready to meet your Creator? Would you, if you die today, would you be ready to meet God right now? I wasn't. I didn't know. I wanted peace. I didn't have peace. I'd go to bed at night thinking, what if I die tonight? I don't know if I'm right with God. But I wanted peace with God. And everyone here I know wants the same thing. So the day I gave my heart to Jesus, the love of God and the peace of God flooded my heart. I always recognize that. I soaked in the presence of God. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, since we have made peace, or been made right in God's sight, by faith we have peace with God. I was terrified of God. I was afraid of God. My religion taught me to be afraid of God. If you make a mistake, he's going to crush you. And if you're sick, he's sending that sickness on you to teach you a lesson. You sweet thing. Huh? So no, God does not teach you but why sickness and disease. He don't send something, break your arm, and say, yeah, I told you don't do that. No, the devil is doing that. And God wants you to be in peace. So, you know, like I said, we use other things to make us feel peace. So also, here's something else. We need peace with our enemies. We call our enemies. Jesus talks about that, how to have peace with people, what to do when you have an enemy. When you have peace with God, you'll have peace with even the people who are against you. I know I have people who said, you know, Roma, I don't really like you, but you know, there's something about you I like. But I don't know what it is. You know? So, but you know, because they don't know that there's God on me. There's anointing on me. And I know I'm always sweet. You know? Because God's there. The anointing, the sweet anointing is there, right? And so are you. You know? So, Here's what Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6 says, 6 and 7. Unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. But fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. You know, God will turn somebody who hates you, they'll bless you and they don't even know why. They'll do things for you because God is working for you and he'll make them live at peace with you. God did it for Israel. If you read the Bible, he said you'll have peace with all the enemies around you because I'm there. Right? So we need to live for God. So God wants us to live at peace with everyone, it says in Romans 12, 18. Anyway, we see that there. So make this confession of faith. Say this. Say, today, I'm going to be at peace with everybody. Here's Colossians 3 and 15 again. Let the peace of God that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You know what? As I mentioned, any struggle you have, no matter what it is, God will give you peace as you walk through this thing. You know, I was reading the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 to 11. Let me show you something here. About Paul, you know, he experienced a lot of things, but he had the peace of God in his life. He said, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. And maybe somebody in here right now, you're going through a trial. And you don't have any peace. And you're struggling. You don't know. I've gone through such a devastating time here. I've lost all my funds. I've lost my friends. I've lost my best friend. I've lost this. I've lost that. And you think, how can I live through this? I know my wife and I have said this a lot of times. I don't know. You know, we would think about this. We said, how can we live through this again? Well, I'll tell you how we can live through it. It's through God. He'll help us live through it. Like Paul says. He said, in fact, we expected to die as a result, but we stopped relying on ourselves. Stop relying on yourself for peace. And learn to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. If he did it again last time, he'll do it again. But the devil will tell you, last time you got through with skinning your teeth, but this time you're not. But no, God will do it again. We have placed our confidence in him. And he will continue to rescue us. You're helping us by praying for us. You know, I get called regularly on my Facebook. I pray for people when I can. I have an app now I send to our prayer teams. When you send me a prayer request, if you have a difficult situation, I send it to my prayer team right away. I said, pray for this situation. And whatever message you give me, I send that, I copy it, I send it to those people, and I pray with you and with them for your situation. You know, we run into stressful things, and we need peace. And if you don't have peace, you'll make decisions that are not right. And you'll do things that you shouldn't do. You'll find yourself in situations that you shouldn't be in. And so you need friends and people helping you. He says, you are helping us, in verse 8, by praying for us. And many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many of your prayers for our safety. And thank God that He is a God that will help us. He's a God that will help us be safe. Even in the most trying times, we can have God's peace, no matter where we are. Psalm 46, 1, he says, you know, I'm the ever-present God. I'm with you always. You know that the person you're praying for, God is with them right there while you're praying for them. He's there. He's right there. And I was reading, you know, in Colossians, in that prayer, he says, God who fills everything everywhere with himself. In other words, God is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere with himself. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. I don't know if you've gone through one, you'll go through another one. But God will help you again. Amen. And again and again. But take heart because I've overcome the world. And you can overcome the world because God can help you go through this. So the question is, let me finish with this. How do we get this peace? We talked about it in different situations. So how do we do it? Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of peace, the source of hope, will completely fill you with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must continue to trust God no matter what we're facing in our lives. God has his best interest for us. Trusting God means putting faith in his word, putting trust, putting into action what he told you to do. That's how you put it to work. Getting peace from God is following his plan for your life. Peace comes from trusting him, relying on him, depending on him, leaning on God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you'll keep him in perfect peace, all who trust you. So if our eyes are fixed on him, it says in there, we fix our eyes on God by placing our eyes on Jesus. What did he say? You know, the Bible talks about fixing our eyes on him. Job 22:21 says this, submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. That's God's word telling us we should do this when we need it. So we got to have a good picture for, you know, our future, because the Bible says, Jeremiah 29 says, there's a good future for you. And tonight, when you lie down tonight, the Bible says you can lie down and live and sleep in peace tonight. And Proverbs says that you'll have sweet sleep. Psalm 4:8, and New Living says, in peace I'll lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Let's go ahead and pray together. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that we have together. We thank you for your wonderful peace that we can enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those of you watching online, we thank you for joining us today. We trust that God has blessed you. Wherever you are, we want to let you know that we're praying for you. We're believing for you. And we pray for all our family every day. We pray for our family church, Faith City Church. I pray for you every day. I walked here last night about 9:30. I walked about 40 minutes. I walked around here and I looked at this building. I said, I'm thankful to the people there. I pray for every member. And I pray God's blessing on you. He will keep you. He'll prosper you and help you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for every member here today, every person here today. We thank you, those people that have putting their hand to the plow, and they're working in your ministry here. They're working in your vineyard at Faith City Church. They're working on your building here at Faith City Church, and they're putting their hand to the plow. When the devil says this and that, they're not running away doing other things. They're coming here because you said to be here, and that if they would stick close to you, you're going to help them. And you said in your word that you are our peace. And so we worship you, Lord God. You are Jehovah Shammah, You're the ever-present God, the peace of God that's there. So we bow down to you, humble ourselves before you, Lord God. We say without you, we're nothing. But we're with you, we're somebody. You love us. You call us to your very own. Before you made the world, you made a plan for us. And so, Father, we submit our lives to you today. We submit our hearts to you. So we say, Lord, take my life. Take my heart. Mold it and shape it into the way you want it to. Not my will, but yours be done. And so, Father, we also cast every worry and care, things that would cause us pain. We cast everything that we're concerned about. Our health, our safety, our prosperity, our victory. Everything that would cause us to cringe. Our future, our immediate situations around us. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we cast those cares about those situations on you today. And we say, Father, we're doing what you said to do. And we'll change. And if we hear from any word from you through our conscience, we'll obey that. But if we don't hear something specifically, we'll just go ahead and obey the general word of God. We'll act on your word. We just believe that you said you're going to give us peace, so we're going to believe that. Peace is ours. Thank you. If there's anybody here today that hasn't made Jesus the Lord of their life, you can say, Lord God, I just turn to you today. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my healer. Be my peace and safety. I submit to you today. I repent of my ways and turn to you. Not my way, but yours be done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for being my Lord, my Savior. Hallelujah. Well, God bless every one of you. If you need prayer for healing, you ask God. He'll heal you.